Saturday, April 29th, I had spent the night in the East Carnation Room on my search for what's wrong with our house and what's right. It was very pleasant, actually, for so small a room. Books, a reading light, an ample closet. I was up early because Roy White was coming at 9 to spend a couple of hours with me on plans for our house. He spread them out on the little table in the dining room in front of the picture window over a second cup of coffee and worked on the hardest problem in the house, that is, Lyndon's bathroom. To Roy, to me, this is the most important room in the whole project. We took out that bathtub, we worked toward maximum light and water pressure and insulation, and we talked to Mr. Wyrick about hiring some more men. I telephoned Lyndon. He relieved us with quick answers, the sort we wanted. And then, about 11:30, Roy and I rode up the runway very slowly in his little car, a low-slung, sporty car for so quiet a man. And I looked for the results of last summer's planting. Sparse and few, a sprinkling of bluebonnets close to the little tower, some Indian blanket coming out on the south end, but so disappointing. I'm getting bored with the main highway to Austin. I told Roy I was looking for back roads. He said, "I know one. Can you spare the time to drive it?" I could, and so we went to Austin by way of Cypress Mill, which I doubt anybody else in their right mind would do. A farm-to-market road, narrow, winding, lonely, paved most of the way with a few gravel stretches, past the old stagecoach inn and the huge stand of cypresses on the river where Cypress Mill had been, and little St. Luke's Church, and then rolling vistas, and then a dramatic spot where the road dropped down to the river steeply. And there was the Pernellis, a rocky riverbed, sandbars, cliffs, and as far as you could see, the gray ghosts of cypress trees, weathered stumps where huge trees had been ripped out in a flood. It was a spectral sight. I thought it must have been the flood of 52, but Roy told me it had been sometime in the 30s when he had been in the university. From their trunks, there must have been huge trees. On the way, he'd been lovingly describing a place he called West Caves, limestone overhangs above the river, and clear pools of water, and lovely little sandbars and places to picnic. And lo and behold, when we approached it, there was a huge sign, red, white, and blue, a horrible development. $1 for picnicking, $2 for camping, and his magic special place was gone. We got into Lucy's a little past 1:30. Helen was busily, methodically unpacking, and Lucy giving her preferences of where she liked the linens and the china and what to unpack. And I fell upon the tray of sandwiches that a neighbor had brought yesterday, Mrs. Pittman, I believe it was, and a tub of fried chicken. James and Mr. Klein were there, moving furniture. I unpacked 7 boxes of books, including Bill Benton's Encyclopedia Britannica, and arranged them in the bookcase in the hall, and many of Lucy's beautiful things. The Pope's signed picture, the Virgin of Guadalupe, from, I believe, the Dies Audaces, and dear Helene's picture, and put them in the shelves in the living room. We all backed off and looked at our handiwork with pleasure. And then, about 3:30, I went to Larry's Beauty Salon for a shampoo and set. When I returned a couple of hours later, there on the table on the patio was a half-demolished chocolate cake, bearing the legend H-A-P on one line and on another B-I-R and a few candles. I said, "What's been going on?" Lucy said, "I found out it was Mr. Klein's birthday, so I went to the grocery store and got him a cake. Did you ever hear of anybody sweet enough to help me like this on his birthday and it's Saturday too?" Mr. Klein was beaming, and I thought how easy Lucy makes it to help her. She is the most appreciative, most loving little girl, and it will make her way through life easier. Roy White had asked us to dinner. Lucy and Pat said they were too tired, but I worked another hour, and then at 7, Jesse came by to pick me up, and we drove to Roy's house and had a happy visit in his backyard with Mary and his son and daughter-in-law and his daughter and son-in-law and Olga Brett. Such a pleasant evening. Roy is so capable, gentle, unaggressive, undemanding of life, and there's a touch of elfin humor, a restful friend. He was to take us to the Red Barn for dinner, my first trip there, and how different from anything in Washington. It was a barn, and while we waited for our table, we went into a huge loft-like room where a girl in flesh-colored tights and a red satin costume of the gay 90s climbed into a swing that hung on red velvet ropes from the ceiling and swang to the tune of brassy music from a piano, while we consumed homemade bread and cheese and red wine and thought we'd been very young and gay. So